this week on Art on the Air features two Chicago-based artists from Nigeria, Aiken Alakunle and Mikaela Ayode, both sharing their use of found objects to create their unique artistic creations on exhibit at Gallery Guichard in Chicago's Bronzeville neighborhood. Our spotlight is on Chicago Street Theater's next productions, Rosemary and Ginger, in March, and the musical Rent in April.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight from the Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso. We have two productions coming up in March and into April, so we have the directors for that. First production is Rosemary with Ginger, and that's directed by Donna Henry. And then we'll be talking about Rent, directed by Michael Glorioso. Welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Donna, we'll start first with you to talk a little bit about your show, Rosemary with Ginger. Could you tell us a little bit about it and some of the things going on with it?
Thank you so much, Larry. And it's fitting to have both of us on the same show. So, Rosemary with Ginger is a very interesting piece. We're going to be doing it in our studio theater, which is upstairs. It's the Edith B. Wood Studio, and it's a black box theater that we don't get to use very often, but we're hoping to use a lot more. It's diner theater, so which makes it unique. And this is an experiment for us. We've never done this before. So people will arrive downstairs. They will be escorted upstairs where they will be seated in a diner. So the studio seating area will be turned into a diner type atmosphere where they'll be seated. We have professional food being cooked for us. People, when they order their tickets, they'll be allowed to order what they like. We have the choice of chicken dinner, meatloaf dinner, or a vegetarian option, which is vegetarian lasagna. And we have a cash bar of beer and wine. So people will be seated. They'll be served their dinner. They can enjoy themselves a little bit before the show starts.
What is the capacity for that show?
We can seat 42 people. Like I said, it's an experiment. We've never done it before, but this is our year of experimentation with Chicago Street Theater. So we're excited to try something new. And we've sold quite a few tickets already, which is wonderful, which hopefully we hope that means sellout as going
forward. Yeah, well, I think you chose well. You know, Rosemary with Ginger is, I mean, I think a lot of people aren't familiar with it. And it's very raw and very... I mean, it should be quite an experience.
It is. So you're familiar with it.
Yes.
That's great. The show is only about 45 minutes. It's a little difficult to tell until we are finished with the rehearsal process. But it's two sisters that are trying to come to terms with their childhood, their life, where they are now, and there's not a wasted line in this play. Everything has meaning. and we'll learn a lot about the sisters and maybe learn about a lot about ourselves as well in the process.
Well, that sounds great, Donna. Well, let's move on to you, Michael, and you tell us about the Jonathan Larson show, Rent. That's a real tough one to pull off, I think, but it's still, even now, is very timely. So tell us about Rent and some of your process with that.
I would say even now, even more timely.
I would say so. You're right. Embrace life to the fullest, right?
Oh yeah, and it's something that has resonated with the public and theater people beyond theater. Everyone who comes and sees Red comes and sees it as the reality of relationships, the reality of death, and all these things that happen in a year. Found family, LGBTQ issues. It kind of encompasses a lot of things that we're going through nowadays and also what was going through in the time when it was originally released. And we're breathing a little bit of new life into it, but also giving nods to a lot of the productions that came before us. It's been done several times in the area. It's been done, had many tours last year. I think it was, I forget what anniversary it was that went on tour last year or the year before. We have a great cast underneath us and a great crew of people that we're working with too for this. So we're really excited to put it on its feet and do some new and interesting things with it as well. Since we do have a smaller space at Chicago Street, it makes it a lot more intimate. So we are going to have some audience interactions with the cast, and the audience will be actually consumed by the show. So that's what I'm really looking forward to, having them be kind of in the show, but not in the show with us. So it's very exciting, and we're really excited to get this on the stage for Chicago Street.
For our audience, some people may have not seen Rent or not be familiar with it, except maybe from the music. Tell us briefly what Rent is about.
Well, it's about a group of artists that, they're facing eviction, and they just want to do their performances, and they want to be able to live their life the way they want to live it. It's very much anti-establishment and what art means, and also what family means to people. That's the direction we're kind of taking it in. We're taking into the direction of really highlighting that found family that they have in Rent, and the love that they have for each other. It does rotate around the AIDS epidemic of the late 80s, early 90s, and all the things that are involved with that, why certain people live, why certain people don't, and really playing up the fact that, you got to live each day for today, really bringing that message back home to everybody.
And kind of very loosely based on Puccini's La Boheme. And of course, the probably ironic thing that people may not know, Jonathan Larson, I think, passed away right when it was ready to open, when it was in the final throes of production. Yeah, the actual creator, the book, music, and lyrics and everything. So that's great. Well, we're just about ready to wrap up here. Real quickly, tell us about the dates and times of the show. So Michael, you go first, and Donna, you go next.
Well, Rent will open on April 14th and runs till April 29th. We hopefully will sell out as well. We're looking forward to that. So get your tickets now. You can go to chicagostreet.org to order those tickets. Everything is done online, paperless.
And quickly, Rosemary with Ginger. Donna?
Rosemary with Ginger opens March 24th and runs for 2 weekends to April 2nd.
We'd like to thank you both for coming on Art of the Year Spotlight and sharing at Chicago Street Theater in Valparaiso.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the full one-hour Art on the Air program on Lakeshore Public Radio is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. This is Pledge Week for your public radio station, and Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge so we may continue to bring you this great program.
Hi there, this is public radio theme composer BJ Lederman, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Akin Olakunle to Art on the Air, Akin is a mixed media artist with a background in interior design. He specializes in repurposing discarded materials such as oriented strand boards, beads, bicycle chains, and washers to create intricate human portraits. He is best known for his recycled texture art. Akin uses his craft to explore systematic and cultural themes of beauty and prowess. He is a Nigerian native, and his vibrant compositions portray the essence of the African woman. His work can be viewed at the Gallery Guichard in Chicago. Thank you, Akin, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hi, how are you?
So good.
We're so happy to have you. Well, our audience always wants to know our guests about their history. I call it their origin story. And we'd like to hear about yours, Akin. So how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about yourself.
I was born in Nigeria. I grew up in Nigeria and got to travel to England for college. And eventually I ended up in the United States to come and visit my uncle here in Chicago, who is a Chicago artist, and his name is Abiola. And on one of my trips, that's how I met my wife at a skating rink, and I decided to come back to the United States, and I've been married to this wonderful woman now for 27 years now. And but all around, I've been around art since I've been in this country with my uncle Abiola. So we've gone on different exhibitions and all around the United States. And but I never got into it to personally do anything to intended to become an artist, but I've always had it around me. But I would do things personally for me around my home, but not until the pandemic. And my wife is a registered nurse, and she was one of the few the nurses that actually got healed in the beginning of the pandemic. And you know, it was one of those times that I was kind of lost. You know, it was like I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. I was very close to losing her. And the only opportunity I had was to go to my uncle's house, you know, in the backyard, and we, you know, to just work on things. And my uncle was like, you know, he's been trying to encourage me to get into art. It was like, there's something in you, you can do it. And that's how we started. And we were just making things then. And one thing led to the other, and I found it to be very therapeutic. And one thing led to the other, and I've known Andre Guichard from the Gallery Guichard in Chicago for a very long time. And we kind of told him, I was like, you know what, I have some pieces that would you like to take a look at them? And during the pandemic, they were having virtual shows. And that's how I framed them, put them in the art show. And he called later and it was like, I sold all your pieces. And I was like, you sold my pieces? Like, in a way, I was like, really? Somebody bought them? I mean, they're beautiful, but I never thought I would actually create something that people would actually want to pay money for to buy. And from there, I just got this bug and it just... It's been an interesting journey. And now along the way, I'm into using the old bicycle chains. I had found a chain a long time ago and I had it in my garage, and I used it on one of my pieces. And I asked my uncle, I was like, what do you think about this? He said, yeah, it's whatever you make of it, it's hard. And I used it. And for some reason, it worked. And I was able to see how it's so easy for you to actually use the bicycle chains, the movements and all that. And it became interesting. And I started going around the bicycle shops all around in Chicago. I've met people that I'm friends with up till today that I would never think I would, you know, be friends with, and they would call me and tell me, I can come and take this bicycle chains. And I've been working with these chains guys. Like, I never believe I would become, you know, these are like skateboarders that work at bicycle shops. And these are like very cool friends up till today. And they're so excited to see what I do with this with an old bicycle chains. And now it's this wonderful feeling that I have is when I have clients that commission me to make a piece for them. Then I was looking at myself at like, how did I get here? You're about to pay for something that you're going to have to live with for the, and see it every day. You know, I never thought about myself to be that way. And I'm kind of a shy person, and that is kind of getting me out of my shell a little bit and kind of embracing it little by gradually, you know, embracing all this process and everything. But I would give credit to Abiola that has actually been my source of inspiration and that I'd always sensed something in me, and to Andre Guichard and his wife that have always been supportive, and I've only sold anything actually through them. That's who they've been the one representing me up to date.
So when you get those commissions, are they have? So mostly you do portraits. So
yes, I do.
Is that what you're doing on these commissions? And do they? So has it been like specific portraits that they want you to do, or do they give you sort of carte blanche on what you want to create?
It's pretty much on the idea because. They tell me, like the Indian couple that I made, they wanted an Indian bride. And I had to kind of make sketches and send, we were going back and forth on the design on how they want, do they want it to have a sari and all that, you know. And so pretty much what they want, and I'd say, but they leave most of it to me to make the decisions on how it's going to look. Because I have to be the one to create it. So it's really,
right.
Yeah. So, but still, I still want to, because they're going to be the one to live with it. I still have to have their own input in it as well, in regards to the color and all that stuff. But right. The whole design itself is pretty much me. Yes.
Did you have any arts experiences back in Nigeria? Any art influences? Or is this, I mean, in telling your story, it seems like art became something later in life, but were you exploring with anything or had anything that brought you that in early in your life?
There's always been, I thought I was going to go into architecture, you know, really, and but I never did. And later on down in England, I became went to School of Interior Design. And not necessarily, but I've just been always fascinated with art, moving things around. Like in front of my house, I have scrap wood that I used to make. I believe every kind of wall outside the house, you could always make something where you can actually hang something up to. And I have something in front of my house, and the old ladies in the neighborhood would kind of stop by and look at it. And they'll call my wife and say, oh, who made this? And I'm like, I did. And so whenever they pass by, they always say, I love what you've done with your house. And whenever they come by, my wife will be like, oh, your girlfriends are here. You know, you know, and it's been. But then a neighbor behind my house some years back came and told my wife and said, you know, I would like your husband to make a piece for me. Up to now, I'm yet to do it for her because I never even believed I was going to get into that, into making art, you know, but just personally for me, but not for someone to make it, for someone to buy it, you know what I mean? And I didn't know she was actually speaking into my life at that moment, not knowing I would actually get into it. So I've always had that creative side to me, you know what I mean, and moved around.
What was the first material that you made those pieces out of then? What was the first material that sort of captured you?
I started with using actually drywall screws. That was what I actually started with. And I would started making, you know, that now that takes a lot of time to make them because you have to kind of go all through and make sure the depth and all that stuff with the drywall screws. That was what I started with. But And I've always had a thing for African masks, really. And that's why I love making these portraits, because it's more like it's more about the piece, not necessarily the body, you know what I mean? But the art pieces, I've had artwork masks that I brought from Africa, and I would actually have them outside my house and I hang them around there. And so I love portraits, yeah. But for some reason, my heart is really with the bicycle chains, because I can repurpose them.
Is there any material you're looking forward to using?
I'm still exploring. I would say that. I'm exploring. You know, it takes something where it's always a feeling. You know what I mean? That when you know that time, when you're there, you know you're there. You know you found it. Thing, you know what I mean? It's never something you can actually rush into, you know what I mean? And my wife will always ask my question, the question, oh, so are you just going to keep doing this portrait? I said, that's where my heart is at this point. You know what I mean? And I'm the type of person you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to have to do it with.
Until you're exhausted of it.
Exactly. Exhausted of it, and I'm ready to move forward. And it's not really about selling it, making money off of it, because the moment I start making money off of it, it now becomes a task. You know what I mean? I'm just enjoying the moment, just creating it, and people are loving it.
I can imagine what, you know, because I've seen the washer work, and I could just imagine what your feeling was when you saw the like iridescent washers, because that adds like another new element to them. But how do you get, what do you use to get that vibrant color, like Queen of the Nile and a few of those others that are so saturated with color?
Yeah, I like I used the Queen of the Nile. I decided to use that orange, like the burnt orange, because that it pops.
Oh, so beautiful.
And the background is, I use a lot of dark backgrounds. I'm not too much of a colorful person. So the dark one, I think I accidentally started using the dark backgrounds because when I was working on the portrait, and I found out that I was so lost, I couldn't really see what was going on. And I was like, you know what, let me paint this black, then I can focus on the portrait itself, because the background was just, I was just at my eyes, kept looking there. And when I used the dark stained, I always stained it, used stained black, and for some reason, my piece just popped, but boom. And I was like, I love this, because I wanted to be about the piece itself, and I love when, you know, you put it on the spotlight and you can see, and I stain it before I put the washes on it. You can see this. You have to see the spaces, the variations in the stain and the board itself that I use.
Is there any other galleries you've worked with, or has Gishard been your kind of like your home? Well, it's obviously been your home gallery, but any other place you're looking to get your work out
it
into?
It is my home. Gallery Gishard is my home gallery, and I feel safe with them for now, you know what I mean? And the opportunity, because a lot of artists are trying to get into the gallery. And for the fact that they gave me this opportunity to be able to show my work, I feel at home with them.
Yeah, I love them so much.
I feel at home with them. I've had people outside to say, oh, you know, you can make this piece for me. And I always kind of tell them, like, you know, you could go to the website or call the gallery, you know what I mean? So it's an honor to work with them, and I'm so grateful to have them represented me.
Now, outside the artistic world, you can tell us kind of coming from Nigeria, your impression of the United States coming here, kind of like the different culture thing and how that impacted you.
Well, growing up, I knew I'm the free spirited kind of person, and I've always known that I would travel. I would want to travel all around the world, and I wanted to do that. So, when I lived in England, I had that experience, and when I got here was when I met, my wife is from here. She's American. And I was just this African amongst Americans, you know what I mean? But I kind of adapted to it, and it's different. I love it here in the United States, and I love the opportunities there and the idea that anyone can make it. You can do whatever you want to do that you choose to be in America. It gives you that opportunity. It's like an open place for you to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. So I'm grateful to be here.
So do you and Abiola collaborate on anything, or do you work in the same area together on separate things?
We are yet to collaborate on stuff. Not yet. But I believe in the near future, we may be up to something. Actually, some years back, I went to China to, Abiola lived in China for about 5 years. And I went to Shanghai. I was there for a month with him, and he was making sculptures over there in China. So I was able to actually experience and work with them while they were making these pieces, you know, but collaborating, not yet.
You know, it's such a, you have such a family of artists. It would be interesting to see all of you getting together and creating.
That would be very, very interesting. Yeah. That would be very interesting. Yeah, that would be very interesting. Abiola comes from a family of artists. His mom, sculptor, and I believe he has three brothers that are artists as well. Yes.
Yeah, so great family affair, I think.
Yes, so I've been surrounded by it all my life, really. And I guess it was just time for me to get into it, yeah.
So have you mostly worked, have you done any sculpture? Have you gone 3D?
Not yet. Actually, I'm in that process of, I'm learning. And, you know, every day is a learning process. When I was just in Nigeria, in December, and I met some artists and I stayed with them, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, this is how you make this, because I'm willing for someone to teach me. But then it's like, no matter what, somebody can teach you, but then you still have to create your own style, you know,
your
what
own
I mean?
Vision, right?
Your own vision. Yeah, exactly. So I'm in that process. Yes.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Because I don't like rushing into things. I like to take my time. And and with me, I'm a perfectionist. I don't know if it's a blessing, but at the same time, it keeps you up at night. Trying to figure out, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and go in the basement looking at my pieces. And my wife is like, when are you going to sleep? I'm like, I'm just trying to figure this out, you know? So I'm going to get there. I'm in the process, yes.
I know, I'm kind of famous for putting 8 hours into something and not liking the position and taking it all apart and starting
exactly.
again. So.
And that it's me. That is really me. I do that as well, because you're in the pursuit of perfection. I believe I asked Francis a question. I was like, is anything ever perfect? She laughed. She was like, I don't think so. And there are times you may think it's not perfect and somebody else will see perfection in it. That's the crazy part about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not so much perfection as much as it feels right.
Actually, no. You're right. You're correct. Yes, it does feel right. And yes, yeah, it has to feel right. And whatever I make, it has to be something that I could actually live with. Something unnecessary. Oh, I just want you to buy it. It's something that I know I could use personally for myself. So, right. Yeah.
So there's a connection to all of your work. It's just not a deep connection. You can tell with those portraits, because you're using materials and then transforming them in such a, you know, it's so hard to believe that they're washers and bicycle chains, because you've gotten so much emotion. You've gotten so much emotion out of them.
Yes,
because a lot of your lines are so exquisitely simple and they just say so much. You know?
Yeah, I love simple stuff. You know, I'm not a complicated person. So it's like, I just love the beauty in it. And even me with working, I think what I'm getting used to, people like critics, I think it's good for you, but I'm trying to embrace it gradually because you're actually learning, you know? But at the same time, it has to feel right to you. You know what I mean? It has to feel good to you. You have to make sure it works. Yeah.
So if somebody wants to see your work, they would go to Gallery Guichard. Do you have that contact information?
Yeah, galleryguichard.com. And the gallery is in Bronzeville at 436 East 47th Street, Chicago, Illinois. And their phone number is 773-791-7003.
Yeah, and Guichard is G-U-I-C-H-A-R-D.
A-R-D. Thank you.
Well, we have just a little bit left. Anything else you'd like to say to our audience before we wrap it up here?
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for you guys for having me here, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. I never in my life would think I would be on here being interviewed for things I've made. So I am very grateful. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. If you want, again, to find out any more, Gallery Guichard, it's the heart of Bronzeville, and you can see his work there. It's all these repurposed-oriented strand boards, beads, bicycle chains, washers, and creating human portraits. Akin Olalakune, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure.
A pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
This is Pledge Week for your public radio station, and Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge so we may continue to bring you this great program. Art on the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BREC.com. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Mukaila Ayuade to Art on the Air. Mukaila is a Nigerian artist and majored in painting at Yaba College of Technology. His medium is watercolor, acrylics, charcoal, and alcohol ink. He improvises with materials like chicken feathers, newspaper, leaves, and his latest is cigarettes. Right now, his work is being exhibited at the Gallery Guichard in Chicago. Thank you, Mukaila, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, we just want our audience to kind of know you. We want the audience to know your origin story. Like I always like to say, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us about your story.
My name is Mukaila Ayuade. I was born in Nigeria, the southwestern part of Nigeria, Ile Ife, to be precise. Ile Ife is the cradle of the old Yoruba all over the world. That is, every Yoruba migrated from Ile Ife to establish their own kingdom. So I was little when I started living with my grandmom, who happens to be an artist, but then I didn't know that something like that is called art, because you will see her weaving, doing tie and dye and all those kind of things. So I grew up in that setting. But I never knew that that is what we call art. Later, I moved back to my own family home, and I started primary school. In school, we did a lot of crafts, like using clay and all those things. And those are my area of, that is where I love most. But then, I never knew it's an art. So later, I went to high school. But in my high school, unfortunately for me, there was no art teacher. So So all I was doing was on my own. I remember the first pencil drawing I made ever was that of our former head of state then. His name is Yakubu Gowon. One of the artists made the pencil drawing and I copied it. So it was so beautiful to me. Later, there was this barbing shop very close to my house. He has a lot of almanac then. We call it almanac, where you put pictures of prominent people. So I started copying all those pictures, and I was seeing resemblance in what I was doing. So then I left high school, went to Lagos, and I started working. But because art is an inborn something, it never leaves me. So everything in my home, all my lantern, television, everything in home, I was drawing there. So it now happens that I travel with my director to Abidjan. My director then was one of the prominent men. His name is Chief Anikayode. Everybody knows him because he was a politician. And this man at the hotel he put us came one night and started asking one of us, everyone, that what do you intend to be in life? And I told him I want to go back to school. He said, to study what? I said, to study art. And he said, yes, I know you are an artist. So I was looking at his face to tell me, how did he manage to know that I'm... He said he was seeing me, he always see me drawing at the back of his window. And that is how I started. I did external exam, passed, and went to Yaba College of Technology for part-time. We call it OND. We used three years as a part-timer. Then later I went back to study painting, to major in painting rather. And it has been a very good journey since then. What really brought me into it?
I was just going to ask, is like, as you were doing all of this drawing, were you getting encouragement from other children, adults? I mean, were other people noticing and commenting on it?
It only happened when I moved to Lagos, because back then in my hometown, though other students from other schools, when they have art assignment, I did it for them. Taught me doing. In fact, when they say they are doing art, I look at them and say, you are not, this is not art. You don't even know how to draw. I do it for them, just like that. But it's just among the students. But when I moved to Lagos, fortunately, I started meeting other artists. Like the first studio artist I entered was a friend called Joe Musa. He's also now in the U.S. One day, because anytime I read newspaper and I see art exhibition taking place somewhere, I will have to go there. So one day, I went to this show and I met a young guy, just a young graduate from Ahmadu Bello University. And I asked, say, I'm an artist. I need to be working among the artists. I said, yeah, you can come to my studio, because he has some other young graduates also living together, about four of them. And anytime I just get out of, I went straight to his home. But unfortunately for this guy, we never paid during the daytime. So it was other friends that I was seeing, one of them, Abraham Jobse, that do see in data, because the guy paid in the night and use the daytime to do run around. So I never meet him, only once in a while. But those people that really have influence on me is like Abraham Yobusere, Ephraim Eka. And it was from that studio that I gained admission to Yaba College of Technology, where I started. So that is, and in Yaba College of Technology, for instance, that was where I got to know about the improvisation. And what really brought me to improvisation is there was no money for end of the program's project, my final year's project. So I was now thinking of what am I going to do? I don't want to use color. I want to use something unique that would earn me good mark without me spending much.
Right.
And that was why I got inspiration to use chicken feathers. So I used the chicken feathers. The first small one I did, I kept it. Fortunately, one day, people from Ford Foundation came to our school. They want some peace for their offices because they want to have some expatriate coming from America there. So I kept it. Never believed in what I did. But when they looked through, they could not get anyone, anything to pick. They were about moving when I brought out the feather was saying, what of this? And they said, wow, this is beautiful. And they paid very good money for that piece.
So describe what you did with the chicken feathers. Did you paint on them? Did you use them as they were? What did you do with them?
That is the idea. I told myself I wouldn't want to use any color, any artificial color. Because when you look at birds, there is no color you are looking for in birds that you cannot get. Chicken feather, and there are some birds also that have, the parrot, for instance, has red on its tail. That's another one we call the aluko. That is my language. I don't know what it's called. She has some red. So I went to my lecturer, my supervisor, that I need to use red, a kind of something somewhere. And I don't want to use color, but I want to buy. Then the man gave me money that has good, because in the market, there's places you go to that you can get all those feathers. I went there, picked those feathers and put, I never used any color. It's just because when you look at the feathers, it comes in different values. You have brown, you have white, you have dotted one, you have black. And if you can just have three values, you can manipulate it to get three-dimensional feeling on the flat surface. And that was me.
Were they abstracts? Were they? So what were you doing with the feathers?
Like the one I did with my project, I call it Christ Consciousness.
Ah.
And the figures you see in there, you see man, wife, and two children. And there's this interlaced triangle behind it. With my little knowledge, I know about all those symbols. The interlaced triangle is like triangle of material and the spiritual plane matching together. It's like every human being, until you allow the spiritual part to merge with that of physical part, that is when you have Christ consciousness. That is just the symbolism. And the circle also, on that drawing, is the universe. Or you can say God, because God has no beginning or the end, just like perfect self. That is.
And so then, did you do a whole body of work with the feathers and then move on? Because I know you did an exhibit with like a chicken feather exhibit, yes, and a newspaper where you then moved to newspaper. So can you describe that for us?
Okay.
Like the transition of materials.
Yes, immediately after school, because of even the people that came to supervise the project, they were marveled at, what made you to think to this level? So that one gave me the mind that, this is a great material to work with. So I started doing a lot of, I think I sent you one face smiling also. It's part of the, so I put some in gallery. There's a friend of mine who has a gallery. And even he had a show for me. One of the show, there's this popular musician in my country. He came for the show. It's T-Mac. His name is a very popular guy. His name is T-Mac. Then he asked me that, can he use my piece for the photograph? I said, yes, you can do. Not knowing that it was journalists from Radio Nigeria that are coming to interview him. After I interview him, they now asked me, can you come to our studio? I said, why not? To have a live chat. And I went there. We had the live chat. And I left. I never even knew that people heard about it until one day, a guy was passing through my studio and saw me doing it. I said, were you on Radio Nigeria? I said, yes.
You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
So, and then I started, I had a lot of good tune with the feather. I remember I was having trouble to pay my house rent. And I went to my friend that just give me something. I never even thought of big money. But fortunately for me, there's this big collector in my country. He came around. I never met him before. So I just greeted him and he went inside. Not quite long, I hear somebody mentioning my name. Then I turned. Immediately I turned, the guy saw me, said, oh, that is the artist. Because what really happened was the collector saw my feather works. And I said, who is this artist? The guy now said, it's Mukaila Yuhade. So when I heard my name, I turned and looked. And the man said, ah, that is, this man collected two of the pieces immediately and gave me his card to see him at his office and awarded me a very big contract based on that feather work. But when this matter of bird flu came in, my thinking then was that people may not want to put chicken feather works at home or some animal advice. I mean, people may say maybe you are abusing animals or something. I abandoned it. Then I migrated to newspaper. That newspaper, I had a show with it 2 weeks before I traveled down here at the American school or something like this, located in Lagos. So I had the show. Even when I came here, I did some, which I exhibited in one gallery at the Southside. So after that one, I now felt that this newspaper also is heavy. What can I do? Which material can I use again to move away from newspaper? Then I introduced jeans. I called the jeans, roll it into pieces, and did marvelous. Upon that, I never stopped. Now, I'm working on a project now that, say, in 3 months' time, is going to be loud. Loud in America.
Did you meet Andre and Fran Guichard in Nigeria, or did you meet them in Chicago?
I met Andre here in Chicago. I met Andre here in Chicago. And he's a very nice, wonderful guy. He's with Andre and his wife, they've done a lot for artists. Even we are having a current show now that is about almost artists from all Africa. It was opened on the 17th, and it was loud, and people really turned out.
Yeah, they are amazingly gifted people, both Andre and Francis.
Yes.
So what brought you to the United States? I think that, I don't know if you explained that part of the story that brought you over to the United States, and then now Chicago, where you're living.
Okay. What really happened is I played a lottery. That was this visa lottery that was on. I think it's closed now. That gave people to migrate to the United States. Fortunately for me, the day I played was the last day that it closed. And I forgot about it. Some months later, somebody came to my studio, say, are you Mukaila? And I said, yes. He said, are you expecting something from abroad? So I just look at him as one of the scammers. I don't have any. My friend abroad is in England. I spoke with him yesterday. He never told me that he's sending anything. He said, do you have your ID card? I said, yes. I should come to the post office. And when I got to the post office, they handed over the envelope for me. And that was the visa lottery. I filled it. In fact, after sending it, it was late before I even got my interview because I couldn't get somebody act into my email. So I did not get the message that for the interview. So I did it. I went to the embassy and got the visa for me and my son. So we came straight to Chicago, reason being that a friend of mine who is also an artist won the visa lottery earlier. And when I followed him to the airport, I told him, I will soon join you in America. We laugh over it. And when he came to pick me at your hair, he said, you said so. I said, well, that is whatever you can say, you can achieve. I believe in that. And that is what really brought me to it. Because he lives in Chicago. And you know, when you are going to saw a place and you don't want to stay maybe 2 weeks and go back, you want to stay permanent. You just have to live with somebody before you get your own space.
Now, one of the things I saw you use, which is unusual, you know, we talked about feathers, newspaper leaves, and things like that, but in your more recent work, you're using cigarettes. So tell us about that.
You know, when I first came to the United States, I could not get a job for almost six months. And the reason being that when you are going to a new place, the person you have come to meet will be your eyes. If he's blind, you are also blind. So my friend didn't know much about opportunities. until one day I met somebody who now said that they hire people at Art Institute of Chicago at Bon Appetit Kitchen. Mm. And I applied, and it was designed because it's like when I enter Art Institute of Chicago, I saw that, oh, I was a local champion. That I can see powerful, with just simple look of this word. Salvador Dali is one of my favorites. I saw all of their works live. So I think it was designed. I never felt bad about it. So, but the work we are doing in the artist is so terrible that I could not even practice. So I started thinking about what can I do until somebody introduced me that I can be driving cab. Because my friend told me that I can't drive cab in Chicago until my driver license is three years. So I did the exam for cab and I passed and I started driving cab. In driving cab, I started seeing people putting cigarette butts inside a kind of pot. So, and anytime I see materials in large quantity, it inspired me to do something. And that's how I started picking cigarette butts. And I made this powerful piece behind me.
Been exhibited?
I've not.
Not yet?
This one should be in midst of big show, not your time. And that's why I said the material I'm using now is going to be part of this show and it's going to be loved.
Has Andre seen it?
No, Andre has not seen it. I think, I sent it to him, but yeah, I think he has not. Though I will start talking about it to him. Maybe we can even put it in his gallery instead of being here, or just be there because it's been here. In fact, this work sent me from upstairs to downstairs. Because the odor it was oozing then was so terrible that they started calling me around midnight. What is in your studio that is giving serious? You know, when you soak it in water, it brought out a kind of terrible odor. But fortunately, it was already done before this came out. So I just moved down and it has been like that. I even used these leaves. All those tiny leaves you see in Chicago during fall, I packed some of them, made powerful pieces. There's one on the corridor there, it's called Chicago. It's like, you know, when you look at Chicago is like a mini world. There is no every part of the world is represented in Chicago. So I used color and the leaves to represent people. The work is about 4 feet by 5 feet also.
What's the next medium you want to work with? You know, is there something that you want to work with that you haven't? I mean, you take all these unique things, but there's something you think, oh, I'm going to work with that. Or is just something that you're going to discover and say, I'm going to do something with that.
I want to shock everyone with the next material. If I say it now, it's like I'm releasing. You know, it's like when a woman is pregnant, you don't know the sex of the baby until now that everybody has come. In those days, you have to wait to know the sex. So let me keep it that way. I started the material just yesterday, and it's coming out beautifully.
Excellent. Well, we can appreciate that for sure.
So without revealing any secrets, have you explored a different type of art that you want to work with? You know, without telling about your material, the secret, but is there something else you want to work on or some medium that you haven't worked in?
Like my charcoal, anytime I'm blocked, when there's no inspiration, I use charcoal to open the door. Because each time you are blocked, it's like you allow the physical body to take over. But when I want to allow the subconscious mind to take over, I use charcoal because charcoal is very fluid, and I do something like called automatic drawing. So when I'm doing the automatic drawing, it really puts me back into it. So I have some powerful charcoal drawing. I have some powerful pen and ink. I have some powerful pen and ink. You see, I don't plan, just continue to, like this one. This is real charcoal drawing, you know. So those are the kind of material I work with. And I'm a good watercolorist. In fact, I use watercolor to train myself in school. I limit my watercolor to just three pigments, cadmium red, ultramarine blue, and yellow ochre. With that three colors, you can get every other color. So it has been a very powerful journey. This is one of the piece, watercolor piece.
So beautiful.
And my aqua ink also, because aqua
is that ink, like an is that a Nigerian street scene or
yes, Nigerian street. Aqua ink behave like watercolor, and I use it also. So much for.
Well, we're running out of time. We want you to just give them a quick minute where they can see your work. I think it's a Gallery Gachard and anywhere else. Is, and I know you don't have a whole lot of social media presence, but anywhere they can get a hold of you. Tell us that real quick before we wrap up.
I'm on social media. Mukaila Ayoade on Facebook. Mukaila Ayoade on Instagram. And Mukaila Ayoade on TikTok. And I'm preparing a very powerful website now that we is soon be linked to those names.
You'll have to keep us posted.
And also, I've been selling on Novica. It's a Canadian-based company that sells my work when I was in Africa.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you coming on Art on the Air. Mukaila Ayoade,
yes.
Thank you for so much coming on Art on the Air and sharing your wonderful art journey with us.
Yes, thank you. So it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Nice talking to everyone.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Art in the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker, and for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.